Okay.
Is everybody ready to praise the Lord? That's why we're here, right? Well, my testimony, pretty short and sweet. I grew up on the farm in Upper Michigan. And my grandmother brought me up in the faith. My parents believed, but they didn't go to church, and you know how that goes. My grandmother brought me up in the faith, and of course I was disabled. I've been disabled all my life with cerebral palsy. So knowing the Lord as she did, she took me to Oral Roberts, Mozzarella, and these faith healers, more or less, in the hope that I'd be healed. And some of the people that were at the places when I didn't get healed, the well-meaning Christians would say, well, maybe because you didn't have enough faith, because you didn't have enough faith, that's why you didn't get healed. Well, I kind of, you know, felt bad. I was only 7 years old, six, 7 years old when I accepted the Lord. And so some of these people would say, you didn't have enough faith, that's why you didn't get healed. And when I got a little older, I realized that it was probably them that didn't have enough faith. You know, leave it to an able-bodied person, to tell a seven-year-old kid that the reason he's not healed is he doesn't have enough faith. Well, you know, there is a scripture that says, when Jesus, the man came up and he wanted Jesus to heal his son, and he asked Jesus, he said, Jesus asked him if he had the faith. And he said, yes, Lord, I have the faith, but help my unbelief. But he still healed his son. He didn't hold it against him because he didn't have the faith. He didn't fail to reach out to his son because his father didn't have the faith. And he was honest. The father said, hey, Lord, I have the faith, but help my unbelief. And Jesus still reached out to him. And Jesus reached out to some people that didn't even know who he was. Like the blind man. And the Pharisees asked him, well, who healed you? And the man said, I don't know. Because he didn't want to get kicked out of the synagogue. And the parents said, ask him. When they were asked, well, who healed your son? And so they asked him again, who healed you? And they asked the parents, well, who healed your son? And the parents said, ask the man for himself, because they didn't want to get kicked out of the synagogue, get excommunicated. And so Jesus healed him anyway. He healed a man. He said, take up. And another place, when he healed a man on the Sabbath, Jesus healed him on the Sabbath, take up your bed and walk. And Jesus got criticized for it, like they were looking for a reason to hang him up. But the man took up his bed and walked. Okay, so, and now I want to turn to John 3:16 and 17 and 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. See? The world might be saved through him. Some people believe that some people go along with the idea that only a select few will be saved. And there's even no point in evangelizing if these select few get saved. But if you really look at Scripture, if you believe in Jesus Christ, then you're in the select few. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe in him is condemned already because he did not believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father through any other way. Now we have the freedom in this country to believe what we want to believe. And I'm not going to cram the Bible down your throat. But I'm going to tell you this. Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father any other way but through Jesus Christ. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now I know many people will argue that point and tell me that that's your opinion. But I'm telling you what the Word of God says. I'm telling you what the Bible says. It's not my words. It's what the Bible says. Now Jesus Christ is either who he said he was yesterday, today, and forever, or he's not. And if he's not who he said he was, then you and I are wasting our time. But I believe Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but through me. The way is narrow. The gate is narrow. But if we don't go through Jesus Christ, we don't make it. That's a simple fact. And that's what my grandmother taught me. And when I went to Oral Roberts, the Oral Roberts Crusade as a young boy, that's what he taught me. Now, I know some people think that Oral Roberts was a charlatan and he just ripped people off. But I was there. I was there. I heard the man preach. I heard him preach. I know the man believed what he said. I know the man taught the word of God. And I was not healed physically. And I may be sitting in a wheelchair. And I'm not perfect. But I can guarantee you that because of the power of God, I'm healed inside. The only way, again, let me emphasize, the only way you and I are going to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. And we're born again by the Spirit of God, not by communion, not by baptism, but by the Spirit of God, when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And I can sit up here and tell you about my life, how I drove the tractor, how I used to preach to the cows. To practice how I felt the call of God on my life, even as a young man of 14 years old, that I should preach the word. And I argued with God. I said, hey, I'm a man of slow speech. I'm a man of slow speech. You know, I don't have enough polish. But he said, finally, said, go for it. I didn't want to pull a Moses. Because Moses tried the same thing and got mad at him. You know, I have done some amazing things. In my life, through the power of God. When I took off on my first motorcycle, I only had a learner's permit in my back pocket. No driver's training other than what I'd learned on the farm. I used to drive a tractor, and I drove the truck around the farm. But other than what I'd learned on the farm, I'd never driven anything. I was told by my driver's education teacher in the school that I couldn't even hold a car on the road. The man wouldn't give me a chance. And I know some of you guys tease me about this, have for years, but I'll tell you what, that guy's name was Mr. Carlson, and I would give a lot to take that man for a ride. In fact, if he ever shows up, I want you guys to strap him in my sidecar. And you know what? You know why I've been successful at that? Because God has been with me. God gave me the skill. God rides with me every time. And I'll tell you something, I believe that even if I get taken out on my motorcycle someday, it'll be because God picked that time and place to bring me home. It's by His power that we are able to do anything. You know, even the Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. Like, He blesses us all. He loves everybody. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that the world would be saved. But not everybody believes that. Because if everybody believed that, there'd be a lot more saved people. But He didn't just die for the elect, the chosen few. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." When Peter walked on water, as long as he kept his eyes on the Lord, he didn't sink. It's when he took his eyes off the Lord that he sank. But Jesus reached out and said, O ye of little faith, Jesus reached out, still reached out and picked them up. He said, "Why did you doubt?" But Jesus knows that we are weak. We are but dust. But He doesn't give up on us. If we fall down, He picks us up again. Oh, I. I've tried a few things, or quite a few things over my lifetime. And some things I failed at. But I kept trying. I remember my dad, when I was going to come out here to California to live. I came out here in 1972 the first time. I think it was there about, I was 16 years old. I came out here for my cousin's funeral, and anyway, I came out here for my cousin's funeral, stepped off the airplane, and it was a day like today, you know, relatively warm weather. It was the middle of December, freezing cold back in Upper Michigan, and then, man, I'll tell you what. I stepped off the airplane because I came out here to my cousin's funeral. And I, before I got to the bottom of the step on the airplane, because they didn't have any walkways in those days, I said, I'm coming back out of here to live. I mean, before I got to the bottom of the steps, I knew this is where I was coming back out of here to live. Well, I had took some doing, but I eventually did. Now, I was, little did I know, the Lord was preparing me for this even spiritually, because I was back in Michigan and I'd watched Mike McIntosh on his Wake Up America program that would come on around midnight back east. And I was taking this was way back when Calvary Chapel was in the theater. I took a correspondence Bible course through Calvary Chapel. And so the Lord was preparing my heart for coming back out here to live. Even then. And I had done some backsliding as a young man sometimes does. You know, to kind of get your sea legs when you leave your home. And my parents in some ways protected me, so I hadn't really learned a lot about the ways of the rural. And so I kind of went sideways a little bit for a few years. And then when I came back out here, I was looking for a place to have a Thanksgiving dinner. And so a friend of mine told me at the hotel I was living at, because I was in a residential hotel then, a friend of mine told me that, well, you know, if you go to Calvary Chapel, they'll feed you. You know, Thanksgiving dinner, they have a Thanksgiving dinner every year. So I jumped on the 7 bus from downtown and came all the way up here. And I was looking for a church home. My heart was bent in toward that direction. And so I came up here for the dinner, and of course I missed that. By the time I jumped in the shower and got all ready, the dinner had been over by the time I jumped on a 7 bus to come all the way up here. And so, but I hung around long enough to realize that it was a real Bible-believing church. So I said, well, I think I'm going to come back. Well, when I came back, that's when I went forward and rededicated my life to the Lord. And so it's been a pretty straight course since then as far as the Lord's concerned. I met my wife here at the Hale Junior High the night we were moving, the night we were all supposed to be there for the home fellowship night. It was a Thursday night. Well, that's when I met my wife, Gretchen. And Pastor Stevie said, well, Pastor Stevie gave me a ride home, because that was the first meeting we had at the new campus. Hale Junior High was, we were moving out of the theater up to the Hale Junior High campus, and that was the first night when everybody was in the sanctuary. And that's when I met my wife. I had saw her in the van, saw the van parked under a tree. So I went over and started talking with her. And I told Pastor Stevie, I said, I just met my wife. You know, but I didn't tell her that. You know. And Pastor Stevie's going, oh, Rich, you flipped. But he didn't tell me that, you know, but that's what he was thinking. And I was kind of thinking the same thing. But the thought kept coming to me. And so I called my uncle and I talked to him. And I said, I think I just met my future wife. And he was kind of, he's a nice guy, but he had some strange religious philosophies then. I thought maybe he would understand. And I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure, but the thought kept coming to me, so I thought, well, I'll just pray about it. If it's the Lord's will, it'll come to pass. If it's not, it won't. Well, I started praying about it. Meanwhile, I didn't talk to her. I didn't want to scare her off. And in that regard. Besides, I didn't want to try to box her in and make her feel like I was trying to corner her. And so I prayed about it. And prayed about it for quite a while, and the Lord said, you can stop praying about it now. Start praying about other things. You know, like, I've done it. It's already a done deal in my mind. I've already done it, so you don't have to pray about that anymore. So, about 4 months after that, we were married. Larry Peltier married us. You know, it's funny to see how people grow up too. When I first saw Larry Peltier, because I was going to the School of E Evening Extension, when it was in this building. And when I first saw Larry Peltier, he had long hair down to his back. I said, man, this is a cool shirt. And he married us, and his hair was short, and he's in a suit. And I said, this is my first time I've ever been married. He said, don't worry about it, it's my first wedding. So we got married in Bubba Park. And she's, you know, she is, and I don't mean this in a weird way, but what I learned from her when I saw her walk with the Lord is still influencing my walk today. Just like my grandmother is still influencing my walk today. She wasn't perfect, but I knew that she knew the Lord. And so that's a brief synopsis of my walk with the Lord. And